Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. All right, D-Gens, welcome back for the Charles Schwab Challenge Preview plus the PGA Championship Recap. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, once again, thanks for a great weekend up in Rochester. And what do you want to talk about, man? What's the biggest takeaway?
Congratulations, Michael Block, for winning the PGA Championship. That's
don't be a dick.
What? Why? No, I'm not being a dick.
Oh, because he was the low PGA. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I think like he didn't win the tournament, but I think just overall, like he's the best thing to come out of this thing.
You're not on Twitter, man. So like people are just hating on him for, I don't even know why.
Yeah. That's not hating on him. Like I was legitimately just,
I know that's why I apologize. I was okay. Defensive because golf Twitter and guys who I respect, like Saul Goodman, fucking Kobe, O's, like guys who I respect, outright king. They are just going fucking insane shitting on this guy. And it's like, listen, man, like, All the PGA stories that they stick down our throats with these vignettes that they do fucking every goddamn weekend. Like this is the hill you're going to die on. Like, yeah, he's clearly hamming it up for the cameras, but he's a 46-year-old dude who's a PGA pro who's been fucking teaching lessons at some course in California, and he's playing with Rory McIlroy. And like, I don't understand the hate. Like, I just don't. I feel like golf Twitter just hates to hate now. You know what I mean? Like, it's so frustrating. Like you could see when he's faking, you can see when he's not. Like this dude was literally holding back his emotions not to cry on the ace, right? And at the end of the day, when he was talking about doing it, he was crying in the interview. And that's legit crying. Like those are legit emotions. This is a 46-year-old man who's played golf his whole fucking life and wanted to like this is a huge moment for him. And you got keyboard warriors fucking being like, nah, fuck Michael Block. It's fucking annoying. And it's that whole fucking generation. Like, I hate the blanket statement, everybody. But, like, listen, man, you're allowed to be human and join in on a moment like that. Like, the dude aced a hole playing with Rory McIlroy. This is a 46-year-old PGA pro who was playing with Rory and aced it. And aced the hole. Like, that is insane. Storybook, like, ending, whatever. And then he had that tester for par to get invited back next year. The crowd goes nuts. You can be fucking happy. You're allowed to be happy for something. Like, it's okay. You don't have to shit on everything. Shitting on everything is not cool. It's not cool. Mm-hmm. It's fucking annoying. It's very fucking annoying. And golf Twitter is very fucking annoying.
I guess I'm surprised. Because I I'm not on Twitter, but like, I guess just watching that go down in person, which, you know, for an otherwise kind of snoozy Sunday for, you know, the top of leaderboard. I mean, really, you know, Hovland, it was Koepka and Hovland. Scheffler made a little bit of a charge. Otherwise, though, you know, it just we'll get to Brooks in a little bit. But I mean, that was the best part of today. And being at that event, I went there on Saturday. You know, you start seeing some legions of guys just following around Michael Block, like, you know, he could hear it. You know, they were screaming, yelling for him. And then all of a sudden, like today, like everybody was just behind him. Like, that's a cool moment. And we don't have right. a lot of cool moments in professional golf. Like, and I don't even really understand, like, the hamming up of some of the stuff. Like, he's engaging with the crowd a little bit. Like, he's acknowledging them. Don't we want these guys to kind of be human and, like, show emotion? Like, you know, maybe do some of that stuff instead of just be robots 24/7?
So they were saying that everything he was doing was fake, like, and like played up for the crowd. And look, you could definitely see he, but my argument to that is he doesn't know what to do in front of a camera. This
well,
guy
cares?
Has never been, that's what,
who cares?
He, that's what I said too. I was like, listen, fucking all these guys are faking it in front of cameras. He's just not good enough yet because he's not in front of them. So it does, it seems worse, right? Like they're like, oh, he didn't know this. He didn't know that. He didn't know Roy was going to be his playing partner. Like, oh, they were the same score. And like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's, and I like these guys. I like the guys who are arguing about this. Like, this is not me shitting on anybody about that. It's just, man, just fucking, just take the negative edge off for one fucking day. One day, take it off. Like, what a great story. This is a 46-year-old guy who literally just finished in the top 15 at the PGA Championship. Like, who cares? Any other story? Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, look, like, if you can't enjoy a guy who basically just works at your golf club going to a PGA Championship and beating the likes of Dustin Johnson and John Rahm and all those guys and shoot one over on a very, very, very difficult setup. I know today was very easy because it rained a lot, but the first 3 days were an absolute disaster. And right. having those two up and getting the ace on the biggest dude, party hole, but that was the party
was
hole.
Fucking amazing.
That was the party was hole. They had all the hospitality tents right there. Everybody was around there. It was a great viewing area and everybody's pulling for him and he dunks it on the fly and then gets
dunks
up and down from 120 yards to say par on 17 and then has a ridiculous up and down on yes. 18. That is such a tough shot he just pulled off there with yeah. a lot of pressure, which, you know, I don't know if he knew if he was actually, you know, getting up and down to.
He knew.
All right, well, then fine. And then, you know, the interview afterwards, you could see the emotion and, you know, then you got the video shared with him. Like, I if you can't enjoy
how do you hate that,
I don't know.
How do you hate that? How do you hate that? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And I get that people, like I said, like I get how they think it was kind of like fake. But here's the deal. It's a guy who's 46 who doesn't believe that he is actually here. So he's putting on the mask like, well, I should be here. Right. And you can kind of see that, I guess would be the thing. But dude, let the man enjoy his shit. Stop shitting on him on Twitter. Like, good God, man. Like, fuck. It's so annoying. It's so fucking annoying.
It just seems like people spend way too much time on the non-golf stuff when it comes to breaking down some of these players and everything like that. And like, you're just ignoring the fact that this was a awesome moment that happened at the PGA Championship.
The Brooks, even at the end, when Brooks gave him daps, he's like, yo, heard you buying drinks. Like, what a great moment. Like, Brooks went up to fucking this guy and was like, hey, heard you buying drinks. Like, what a great moment.
If you really think about it, I mean, it's basically the ending of Tin Cup right there where, I mean, he ends up holing out, but like he needed to hold that out to qualify for the U.S. Open the next year. Like he's just a PGA Tour pro.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. How can we not enjoy that stuff?
I liked Tin Cup before I liked golf, by the way, because I love Tin Cup. I had the DVD and maybe VHS. When did it come out? 97? Yeah, but I had the VHS.
Yeah. I mean, God forbid that we can't just enjoy this. I mean, listen, like I got chills watching it. Our check team was blown up. My friends all loved it. My wife even loved it too. Like she thought that was really cool.
Yeah. But gatekeeping golf Twitter fucking was like, did you think? Let me type in my fucking keyboard.
Well, then you know what? I'm glad that I'm outside these pearly gates then.
I
enjoyed it very much. I thought that was the story of the tournament. We'll get to Brooks after our commercial break, but it was such a cool moment to watch that stuff. And I don't care if I'm criticized for that take at all. It shouldn't be criticized. Yeah.
I don't either. If you can't enjoy that, then you got to stick up your ass and you think you're more important than you fucking are. End of story. Anyway, have you signed up for Edge Boost yet? If not, you're missing out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Better than Vito on the corner. Simply deposit your funds and into your account, and Edge Boost will match your deposit, so you can use 2x the funds for any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances, up to $2,500 you can add to your bankroll. And my, so go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge, and you must be 21 or older in valid states where gambling is legal. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay. All right, let's get to the real winner now of the Brooks Koepka.
I'm sorry.
Are you?
I am.
Do you want to explain a little more what you're exactly sorry about?
Because I told you everybody was on him on fucking Twitter. And he got esteemed, bad number, blah, 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 all the same bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there's no such thing as a bad number anymore. Like, that's it. Like, if you think you're going to win, you take it, and you don't care about the steam. DFS is one thing, I guess, but that wouldn't have mattered either.
Yeah, I mean, well, because wasn't his ownership actually kind of low? DFS.
That was like 20. No, it was. No,
oh, it was 20. Okay. It's two separate animals. Like,
right. It's two separate animals. Yeah. But either way, it worked out if you like Brooks this week.
Right. And
but you can't let DFS affect your outrights. But at the same point, I was yelling about what a terrible number it was. So I was 100% wrong. 100% yeah. wrong. But
I mean, look, I think you just want to think about it this way. The last year and a half, all just chalk and favorites are winning. So inherently, a lot of people are going to be on them. Their ownership is going to be high. And if you just like a guy, like I did after making an hour and 40-minute video, basically coming to the conclusion that Brooks Koepka was going to win and then not betting him, not great. But, I mean,
I didn't talk you off a bet, did I?
Yeah, you did. I was going to bet Koepka.
Can I tell you?
Koepka was one and done. I'm gonna bet him, and I was so burnt out after Sunday night. I hadn't placed the bet yet. I was gonna do it on Monday, and then that happened. And then
I'm gonna tell you the same thing you tell me.
Yeah,
you host the golf gambling podcast.
Oh, I know. Listen, like,
I do feel bad.
Listen, I'm not on record of, like, I think all my takes about Brooks this week was completely accurate. I described the golf course as suit to power fader. He was the first guy I mentioned at the end of the video. I had a positional on him. I came out in very strong support on the DFS show we had. Very strong support when Kramer picked him outright and for his DFS lineup. Look, it's fine. It just, I can't pick everybody, and I'm human sometimes, and that's what happens. So I'm cool with the outcome. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I don't bet life-changing amounts anyways. I'm actually more here to just serve you guys, and I hope you don't tail my picks. I hope you just kind of listen to me and you kind of like make different connections that maybe I don't make. So, otherwise, though, I'm very happy that Brooks Koepka won. I mentioned
golf is so much better when Brooks is here.
It is. He so is. Much better. It, like, he has the ability, and this is why he was so good before. Like, when he made that mistake on 6 today, just blasting. And by the way, his driver was really loose today.
Super loose.
Yeah, it was. He had that really bad right miss going.
And then he double-crossed after that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, he's missing both ways now.
Right.
Oh, no.
But what's so great about Brooks and why he's good in majors is when he makes a mistake, he's like, okay, how do I say par? How do I say bogey? He's very efficient in that manner. And he did that on 6. He did that on 11 on a horrible lie in that bunker. He made a mess a little bit of 13, ends up making par there. Hits an awesome shot on 16 to just step on Victor Hovland's throat after he pulled a Corey Connors. I couldn't believe that happened again for the second day in a row, by the way. And then on 17, hits a horrible drive. Takes his medicine, gets up and down for bogey, solid par in 18. Like, that's why I like Brooks Koepka. Like, I don't care about all the off-course stuff. I don't care about the full swing stuff. I just kind of enjoy watching a guy just grind like that. And there's some tension with it too that I enjoy. It's like, okay, how is Brooks going to kind of get out of this and stay par and move on to kind of hold these guys at arm's length? And you know, I mean, like for kind of how loose he played today, shot 67, which is it just shows how good that guy is. And just looking at stats for the event, plus 3.7 tee to green, plus a stroke putting. He was second the green tee to green, third around the green, 15th putting, seventh with approach, ninth off the tee. Just complete performance, which is really what the PGA Championship's all about with these setups now. You just got to have your A game with pretty much everything now, which is tough, no-nonsense golf.
Yep.
And it's a worthy champion. I'm glad he's back. I think you could see it at the end there, give him the big hug to his caddy.
Great hug, dude. That was like the caddy went for like, all right, I'm going to give you daps. And then Brooks like gave him the hug. Like, I fucking got it.
I know. Insano
makes a great point, man. The shot on Hovland ended him. Like, in that bunker, it was a wrap.
It was. Yeah, at that point.
Shout out Insano and his beautiful, lovely wife. It's a good time I have drinks out in Rochester
with you guys. Absolutely. Thanks for showing up to the event. Thanks for coming with us for Radio Social. You guys were a lot of fun. I really enjoyed talking to you guys. And if you ever want to meet up for a drink or anything, just hit me up around here. I definitely would go with you. Although having a baby next month and then after that, it might be a little crazy for a little bit. But all right. So why don't we transition right to Hovland? I mean, I don't really have any hard takes about Brooks. I'm glad he's back.
Hovland in a bunker. That's what ended him.
Well,
I mean, can you write it more perfect than that? Hovland, not good in bunkers. He shoved me in a locker. He shoved me in a locker around the greens, but he is not good out of bunkers, and he did it again.
That's a fairway bunker, sir.
I don't give a shit.
Okay. I mean, look, these bunkers were designed to be penalties and hazards. Like, did you see anybody out of a bunker hit the green this week?
No. I only saw two people embed one into the front, and it was Corey Connors and Vic Hovland.
Because his feet
were embedded.
Listen, I actually, when he did that, and I saw Corey Connors do it yesterday, the first thought in my head was Andrew Green talking about how we rebuilt these bunkers and saying, these are true hazards. You're not hitting the green. These are awkward lies. Depending on where you are, it's bad. And listen, he didn't have a whole lot of room where the lip was and where the ball was, and so he just hit a bad shot. What's that?
He made a stupid decision then.
He probably did. But Hovland, I don't know. Maybe he probably should have took his medicine. You're right. But Hovland is a guy who sometimes has questionable decisions. Like we saw it at the Riviera in February. He's the only one who tried to go down, I think, 17 on that hole. And that didn't really work out well for him. Finally, he abandoned that. But look. Another example of Hovland in the mix, and actually, he was 12th in strokes gained around the green.
He did okay.
Yeah, he did
okay.
He did. He had a lot of good bunker shots, a lot of good times where he kind of saved himself.
Was he going to be 18-1 at LACC now?
Yeah. I mean, he's playing in a Colonial, so I think he's going to be pretty popular for that. He's definitely going to be very popular for the U.S. Open, which is, by the way, in 3 weeks. So
is it fucking 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's Father's Day weekend's coming up pretty quick. Yeah, we only have Charles Schwab.
My birthday the same weekend.
It's actually a pretty good stretch of golf. We got Charles Schwab, which is actually a pretty good event field this week. We got the Memorial the following week. Canadian Open's going to be a terrible field, unfortunately.
It'll be nice. That's Jeff's home court.
No. I'm not ripping the golf course. I just think there's a lot of guys playing.
Connors will play. Svensson will play.
Okay. Can I finish? Let me finish. A lot of guys playing Colonial. Memorial's an elevated event. Some guys got to take a week off. So maybe you'll probably get a couple of RBC guys, but it might be a tough scene.
Which golfers launder money for the drug cartels for RBC? Because they've been hit with numerous fines for that.
I mean, it used to be Dustin Johnson, but they no longer sponsor him.
No, he snorted the drugs from the cartel. Oh, he wasn't laundering.
He was the end user. Okay. Allegedly, by the way. Allegedly. Anyway, all right. So
cut that.
Allegedly. All right. So I guess let me ask you a question. So after Hovland's performance around the green this week, does it change your opinion about him at major championships at all? I guess a follow-up question is,
yeah,
it's kind of what Zalatoris started doing. We're all hot for Trafford.
I know. Yeah, I think
it's the same thing. Like, Zalatoris can't putt in on the other green, but they can putt on major championship greens, and then Hovland sucks everywhere else.
I think it's fine. I think it matters what the rough is. Right.
I looked into that, and he actually was pretty terrible at places with deep rough.
All right.
So
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe we'll take a look. LACC's around the green terrain is wild and very tough.
Yeah.
So I think it's Bermuda rough around there with some Barranca and a bunch of shit.
Bermuda in Cali?
Yeah, it's Bermuda tee to green at LACC with bentgrass greens. It's not your POA. It's not any of that stuff.
Really?
Yes. Actually, there's a lot. There's Bermuda's a very popular grass.
Why does a greenskeeper want to make his job more difficult?
I don't know. I mean, they probably pay him pretty good. LACC is one of the most exclusive clubs in the county, in the country. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But listen, I continue to be encouraged by Hovland. Put himself in the mix.
I think I'm more, put this way, I'm more encouraged by Hovland than I am Cantlay's fucking bitch. How's that?
Oh my god. Let's talk about that guy.
All right, before we break down the rest of the loser bums that we bet instead of taking the guy that we should have took, but the number was too short. He was 120 at the Masters and blah 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 and the stupid golf brain. What we need to do, Steve, is we need to eliminate the golf brain betting. And just get to our like normal betting brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if we saw the Super Bowl and there was four teams to get to the Super Bowl, and there was one team that constantly got to the Super Bowl, and they were 12-1, we would bet that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you mean like I did saying power faders are going to do well at Oak Hill. It's an execution test, and that's what Brooks Koepka has always done in his career is perform on these types of golf courses like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, guess like that.
Just like that.
Yeah. Maybe
we should stop being snobs and just fucking. Maybe I should stop telling you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop telling you what Twitter's doing, which I probably
can't cancel me anyway. That is the lesson. I don't want to know what's going on there unless they are criticizing a feel-good story like we saw in PGA Championship.
Unbelievable.
Like, otherwise, though. I don't care what anybody is taking on Twitter because there are so many golf touts out there that everybody's taking everybody at this point.
Yeah,
so, and I've been burned a couple times this year, seeing the rabbit ears about what other people are taking. And I didn't take that guy. Shout out Chris Kirk at Honda, shout out at Tony Fino in Mexico. And then shout out Brooks Koepka here. So
maybe I just get off of Twitter. I wonder how much do you think Joe had on him?
Joe
must have hit nice.
Hopefully, good. He deserves
I know.
It, so.
I know Joe hit nice. I know.
He's a hopefully that won him a nice Vegas trip. Yeah, if that happened, but all right. Then we got an ad break. So why don't we take another ad break?
That's what we were doing before I sidetracked it.
Okay.
All right. Listen, Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Listen, time is running up, boys. We've got like 10 days left. So make sure you get a pair. And not only do you get a pair of 50% off, but you also get a chance to win $500. They got you covered from the slopes to the greens to the fairways. Shady Rays got durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. If you lose or break a pair or even on day one, they told us they'll send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. If you don't like them, you can return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk to shop with Shady Rays. Their team always got your back. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays as you covered with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK. So go to shadyrays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. And remember, May is almost over, so make sure you take your receipt to sportsgamingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500 in the Shady May contest.
Okay. All right. Let's put this to bed within 7 minutes, and then we'll transition to Charles Schwab.
Why do we want to talk about the Schwab?
Because I had some good stuff for it.
Yeah.
It's another tournament. We can't just slack. We need to pick ourselves back up. We're not going to have a great betting week. And we need to just be prepared.
Can I get a smoke break in between?
Sure. I mean, you're going to miss some valuable information. I mean, maybe I'll mention something and you won't say, hey, that doesn't make any sense. You know, you shouldn't go down that rabbit hole. So, you know what, guy? Leave. When I talk about the Schwab, just leave. No, I'm kidding. kidding. All right. One guy you're never going to bet against in a major. I'm going to ask you. I have one on top of my head.
Homo.
Oh, okay. You want to talk about that now? He looked miserable.
Bad.
On Saturday. And I remember, because he walked by me at the Masters, and he was not doing well either. And the same just, like, I don't want to be here look.
This look where he can't. He looks like he has the Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah.
Screws in his head.
Like people were at like saying stuff to him, just not acknowledging, just dead straight down.
Unlike the wink and the nod, me and BK got from Keegan.
Yes, and apparently you should have stuck around all weekend because as soon as you left, he did not do well.
Maybe he should. Maybe he should have acknowledged me instead of the other guy to the left of the. Was it 14? Who we were at?
Oh, maybe. No. Maybe. All right. So you're not betting Homa again. Why is that?
I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. It's a gut feel. Like, no.
Yep.
It's not there. Like, especially if LACC is, we're talking like short term, like LACC is not like not a normal California course, but everybody's going to be on them. I can't wait for him not to win.
I'll say once again, guys who don't get in the mix don't usually win.
Yep.
So. Sorry, another opportunity to pass you by. I actually had the discipline to not include Homa anywhere on the betting card. I actually found a nice top 30 number at like plus 160 that I was staring at Max Homa. And I'm like, you know what?
Cash.
Why don't we stay away? Nope. Why don't you prove it first? And no, he didn't do great. He's also like not young either. Isn't he like 32 or 33?
Yeah, dude, he's like, yeah, 33 or 34. He's
so like,
yeah,
it's not like this up and coming, you know, guy where like it's not like a Hovland situation where we're always just waiting for it, and then shows up. So right. All right. I'm gonna nominate Tony Finau. I'm not betting that guy at a major. That was stupid. So somehow I galaxy brain myself into saying, don't bet Brooks Koepka, but bet Tony Finau. And I get it. Like I got caught so dumb. That. I galaxy brain myself into that, but
the Sliv Golf thing has fucked everything up. And I hate Greg Norman. I hate the goddamn Saudi government. They have fucked everything up because there is no way on any planet Earth that we wouldn't have bet a 20-1 Brooks if he had been playing on the PGA.
Yeah.
No chance.
I mean, that's a challenging thing. Like, we have no stats other than total strokes game. But at the end of the day, like, if you're just watching Liv. Like, look, I understand that the golf course is not playing at all that tough. I understand the competition's shitty, but it's about hitting golf shots at the end of the day, and Brooks has been hitting just good golf shots for the last 2 months or so. Like, at that point, you just got to kind of look at the eye test and just trust that, hey, the guy's playing well. He's going to a golf course that should all, like, fit his perfectly, and then it just happens. So, I mean, my biggest miss was probably Bryson. I just immediately dismissed him. And, you know, thankfully I said on the Friday show that he wasn't going to win, but he was way better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to implode on Saturday. And he definitely did. Led the field in strokes gained off the tee, first in driving distance, ninth in fairways hit. That is definitely the biggest surprise for me. So what this stat line shows me, though, is he looks like the post-COVID Bryson, where like he was bigger, but he wasn't like huge at that point.
Right.
But he was driving it really straight and he was hitting his irons right. He was hitting a lot of fairways at that point too. Like it was like what we wanted. And then he like really started chasing distance like too far. But like I'm very encouraged by this new Bryson. I thought he looked good. Yeah, you know, we followed him around for a little bit. He looked pretty good.
No, we followed Keegan around and Bryson happened to be there.
That's true. That is true. You got up and close and personal with him as well. Let's see. Xander, another kind of.
Yeah, fucking it's Sunday. Good weather finish. Backdoor fucking top 20.
Yep. Can't lay the same thing.
Xander's never winning a major.
Yeah, I don't think he is either.
Nope. Never.
No, like, it's like you look at some of the guys who have won, they always have kind of an edge to them. You know, like Koepka's always won. Like JT's got a little bit of an edge to him on the golf course. Like Shane Lowry's kind of a hard ass. Like all these guys kind of edge it. And just Xander's just kind of like, you know, nice guy joking up with DJ, by the way.
Well, all day, by the way.
Maybe he's going to live. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know?
Andrew to live. Reported here.
I mean, look, I mean, you go to live, you can still wear major, win major championships. That's a pretty good selling point.
Not a bad play.
Yeah.
Except that thing's going to be folded in 2 years. And the PGA right. will be fucking ridiculous. See how I use the right R word? You see how I used it?
Yeah, Thank you.
If they didn't bring these guys back, the live tour is going to be done in 2 years.
Yeah, it is.
End of story. Bring everybody back. Like, seriously, if you're getting preempted by Black-ish, which, by the way, love that show. Like, top 7 or 8 sitcom that I've seen for network television. Love it. Fucking Anthony Anderson, genius. But, yeah, there's no fucking chance. There's no fucking chance that Liv lasts more than 2 years. No chance.
No, I think they all had 3-year guaranteed contracts. I think at the end of next year, if they don't have a real TV contract, I think they're done.
It's a wrap.
Yeah. All right, so back to Cantlay, by the way. So a couple of things I want to say. I got suckered into, he's been kind of getting in the mix of some major championships. Yep. I'm going to try. Actually, you need to electrocute me if I make that take.
Okay.
Because as soon as I saw his bucket hat on Saturday, I knew we were not getting a good Cantlay run in us. No. Okay. Guys in bucket hats don't do good.
Don't win.
No. So, and also, I mentioned this to Kirshner. I got some pushback on it. That, yeah, we say Cantlay's really good on bent grass, but I don't think he's very good on bent grass major championship venues. And I got pushback. Okay. So, all right, so here's the data. So we don't have everything, but I have all the major championships that he's been on bent grass.
Okay.
All right. 2018 PGA Championship Bellerive, he gained 0.1 strokes per round, so 0.4 total. Okay. At the 2020 PGA at Harding Park, he gained 1 shot total on the greens putting that week. And the Masters, he lost almost 2 strokes per round. At the 2022 Masters, lost 1.3 strokes per round. At the 2022 Southern Hills PGA Championship, which, by the way, has the same agronomy as what we're going to see at LACC. That might be a red flag for Cantlay. Lost 2 strokes per round with a putter. 2023 Masters, he hit the ball great and was terrible on the greens. Cost him there. And then in this tournament, he was 44th in the field in putting, and he gained about a quarter stroke putting per round. So maybe we overrate the bent grass thing with Cantlay when it comes to like bigger, tougher greens. Okay. Might be something to just think about later.
All right.
Otherwise, though, just going down the leaderboard here, JT was pretty bad. I don't really have anything else besides I got one more question to ask you.
Yeah.
Sorry to cough. So Brooks has to be on the Ryder Cup team, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dude, he might qualify with points. I don't know how that works. I was actually thinking about that earlier today. I was talking to Tommy because I was at Tommy's house. And, I was like, yo, he's definitely going to qualify with points around. He will be a top 7 getter. He finished 2nd at the Masters, fucking won the PGA. How is he not top 7 in points?
Yeah, it should be enough at that point.
How do you make him not on it? And then what does that do for everything else?
Well, so here's the thing, too. So it's not the PGA Tour that controls the Ryder Cup. It's the PGA of America.
Right.
It's the PGA of America.
Right.
And he just won their tournament.
Yeah.
He's going to be eligible. It just really depends on what Davis Love. If Davis Love has too much of an influence on Zach Johnson there about his captain's picks.
Guys can get pulled by horses across. Like, who cares? Like, nobody gives a fuck about them. We want the players. We don't care about the captains. We talked about this on the course. I was like, yo.
I agree.
It should be. I can't remember who made the point. It definitely wasn't Immelman. Who the fuck was it? It was somebody. It was like, it's not about what tour you play on. It's the best Europeans versus the best Americans.
Yeah.
And the story, it doesn't matter what tour you play on.
Yeah, no, I agree. He should be on it. I wish DJ had a little bit of a performance, but if he's doing okay, I don't think he's going to qualify. I mean, bad finish in the Masters.
Yeah, bad finish. Yeah.
What happened? He had such a good start.
No idea. I thought he was going to beat Brooks in a matchup. Just that's the problem. Maybe I need to get off Twitter, man. Like, because I literally It's like, no, everybody's on Brooks. I go the opposite way.
I mean, we got a social media coordinator, great producer right now to handle all of that.
It's true. Maybe I get off.
Maybe I get off. I mean, we're just the monkeys with the symbols at this point. So, All right. I got nothing else for the PGA. You got anything else before we move on to Charles Schwab?
Nah, that's it, man. Great time. Rochester, fucking good spot, man.
Yes.
Sneaky good.
Yeah, but actually, I got one more thing. So my Saturday includes, so we just randomly decided to post up on the second fairway. And in a span of 30 minutes, we saw Mito Pereira almost nail Patrick Cantlay with an approach shot. We saw an out-of-control cart hit a woman and tried to go uphill on a muddy hill. That was stupid. And then I ran over to get a big, nice close-up of Keegan's ball sitting against the fence there. I think he ended up getting a penalty stroke on that hole.
Was not a penalty stroke.
Did they not give him a penalty? Because they said something to him. And I think he bogeyed the hole anyways. So, yeah. That was fun.
Fun.
All right. On to Colonial. So let's just quickly go over the field first. Decent field. So you got Scottie Scheffler. Is going to play this week. Yeah, Max Homa, who you said you're never betting again.
Never.
Yeah, Jordan
Spieth. No, at majors. At majors,
fine. Hovland's in the field. Finau's in the field. Burns, Morikawa, Sungjae, who shot, plus 13 this week, by the way?
Yeah, but he was, cursed, I think.
Okay. All right, not great. Tommy Fleetwood's in the field. You got Justin Rose, former winner, Siwoo. It's a good field. Ricky's in the field. It's a good field. Well, where'd you go? Are you just smoking a cigarette? Okay. I guess he was serious about that. So I guess I'm just riding solo right now for the Charles Schwab. All right. So I guess let's just talk about the golf course. So Colonial Country Club, I'm not going to get into the history of it. It's going to be my article. I posted a couple of cool videos. So I posted a hole-by-hole flyover of all the holes. I posted a couple of videos from No Laying Up, who, by the way, had a really good Manning cast site type broadcast this week for the PGA. So anyways, they actually went to Colonial, I think 4 or 5 years ago. Randy and Neil played the horrible horseshoe, which is holes 3, 4, and 5, I think. Just 6 times over and got their asses kicked. But yeah, go watch those videos. It'll show a great history of Colonial. But let's just get to the betting strategies. We're 35 minutes in. So Colonial Country Club, it's a par 70, just a shade over 7,200 yards long, one of the shorter golf courses on the PGA. But yeah, there you are. What happened?
Hey, lighting.
Oh, I thought you were serious that, you're going to take a smoke break.
No, smoke break is longer than that, buddy.
Okay. All right. So Colonial par 70, just shade over 7,200 yards. The greens are about 5,000 square feet in area. That's slightly smaller than PGA Tour averages. The greens are bent grass, but there's Bermuda tee to green. Unfortunately, the GCSAA has not put out their tournament fact sheet yet. But last year, the rough was 3 inches, and 3-inch Bermuda is pretty long. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. That's one of the more penal places to actually miss a fairway if you're in the rough. But it's probably going to be similar length. I mean, we have seen some golf courses though, like Wiley did this. I think another course did this where they grew up the rough to kind of combat some of his bomber strategies.
I'm trying to think of where that was at.
Innisbrook, they did that.
Yeah, Copperhead.
Yeah, Copperhead. So maybe they grow it up a little. I mean, if it's 4-inch Bermuda, that would be nuts.
That's not fair to anyone on the.
No, planet. It isn't. It isn't. So, but one of the things I like to look at data golf, they actually use something called adjusted yardage, and it helps when you have some of these tight tree line classic courses where guys can sometimes hit over the dog leg or hit over trouble. So basically what it is they actually take the actual yardage of the shot length data and aggregate it. So it actually plays more around 7,000. So these are the types of golf courses that are around 7,000, like a similar adjusted yardage as a Colonial. So TPC River Highlands, Sea Island, Pebble Beach, Austin Country Club, Sedgefield, Harbor Town, PJ National, and Wiley. And that really makes a lot of sense based on who's won here. Those are all basically Kevin Kisner tracks, except for Pebble Beach. And he's won here. He's been great at all those. Matt Kuchar, Sea Island winner, Harbor Town winner, Wiley winner, those types of tracks. Daniel Berger's done pretty well at all those. He's won here. Jordan Spieth is pretty good at most of those. I mean, he's won at Harbortown, pretty good at Wailea, won TPC River Highlands, won Pebble Beach. So yeah, Spieth course. But I think those are pretty good comp courses to use this week. You basically see those types of guys do pretty well there. We'll talk about the off the tee stuff, but all those places do a pretty good job kind of leveling the field off the tee. So it makes a lot of sense. The guys are pretty good there. Got here. Par threes, you know, they're about average in length. They're about 193 yards on average. So one of them plays about 225, but there's another one plays like 160. So they kind of all average out. But the par fours and par fives, those are only average about 445 yards in length. That's the ninth shortest length of all golf courses played, including majors, since 2015. There's five par fours under 400 yards, six that are between 400 and 450, and only one that plays over 450. But the par fives, though, they're tough. So first, par five first, it's only 564 yards, but it's basically a 90-degree turn at the dog leg there, and it's really well protected. You got thick rows of trees to the right, a bunker about 300 yards protecting the left side of the fairway there. Like, you really, if you don't hit the fairway, you're not hitting the green too. So, and then the par five 11th, it played 631 in the final round last year. I think it was a little bit because of the wind, but overall, yeah, though,
who was it? Who was in the mix last year?
Sam Burns, Scheffler, Munoz, maybe?
No.
Somebody, one of your, one of Scotty, your guys.
Scotty won this fucking thing last year.
Oh, Harold Varner.
Varner.
And he had, I think, a
That's it. It was Varner.
I knew it was one of those guys who went going to live. It was Varner.
Yep.
But yeah.
Scotty won this fucking thing last year.
No, Sam Burns won. He beat him in the playoffs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Burns, just what, he was planning on going to a wedding afterwards in the tartan jacket. And Burns had other ideas. So, but anyways, of all non-major venues in the PGA Tour, their par fives are actually the 12th hardest on the PGA Tour. And it makes sense. I mean, if you miss, they're narrow. If you miss the fairway, you're not making the green. They're tough holes. All right, so off the tee. This is where Colonial is the toughest. Of all non-major venues in the PGA Tour since 2015, it's the fifth toughest off the tee. And there's several reasons why. First of all, it's not a course where you can take out driver a lot. It's a positional golf course. And that shows in the average distances of all the par fours and fives is only 280. And that's somewhere to like Pebble Beach, Innisbrook, PGA National, Harbortown, as far as driving distances. All those golf courses really limit you and what you can do off the tee, because it kind of tells you the answer right in front of you. Basically hit it to this position right here. No real options. That's the best spot. If you miss, you're going to be in big trouble. And oftentimes the landing zone that you want to hit to is only achievable with less than driver. Second, the fairways are very narrow. They only average about 28 yards in width. Only Eastlake, Torrey Pines, and Silverado are the active golf courses in the PGA Tour with, smaller fairways. And despite the fact that most guys are not taking driver a whole lot at this golf course, the drive accuracy percentage historically is only about 62%, which is pretty low if you're hitting irons and drive and three woods and all that stuff there. There's also very well placed fairway bunkers. Most fairway bunkers are between like 270 and 300, off the tee there. They're also like on both sides of the fairway, so there's really nowhere to miss. And like we mentioned, the Bermuda rough, really thick, 3 inches, you get really dodgy, inconsistent lies when you do it. So, the last thing, and I'm going to start incorporating this because it worked out really well at Oak Hill, and then I just didn't follow my own advice. How about we talk about tee shot shapes?
Okay.
So of the 14 par fours and fives, seven of them will favor a fade for a righty off the tee. Only three are going to favor a draw. But on some of those holes, guys definitely have the option to take it up top over the dog leg. I know on 18, you can take it up top over the dog leg, hit a fade. I know on number two, you can do, or number three, you can do that too. And then there's a couple other that are just straight away. So this is definitely a fader's golf course, which if you look at who's won here, it definitely makes sense. So Daniel Berger won here a couple years ago. He's a fader off the tee there. I think Sam Burns prefers to hit a fade. Scotty Scheffler prefers a fade. And as far as like guys who finished like runner up here, Brooks has done very well here. So this might be a Faders golf course.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's something to maybe keep in mind. You got guys like Hovland in the field. You have Morikawa.
What do you think about Hovland's like? What do you think about Hovland's headspace coming in after being not literally? He didn't shit down his leg like he normally does up until like the third to last hole. Do you think that helps him or hurts him?
I mean, it's a similar spot to what he was at for the Masters, right?
I guess.
Yeah, he was. Not he really was three wrong. Back heading into that.
He was legit. He was. He was legit right there, going shot for shot with Brooks, and then. Put it in the bunker, embedded it into the bunker, and then fucked himself.
Well, if you remember the Masters, he had that hot Sunday morning to finish his round, and he was only three back. So he had a lot of momentum heading to the afternoon.
Three back's different than final group and fucking, like, that's what I'm asking.
It's a similar mindset as you were in the mix and it didn't go well. So at Harbortown, he ended up being first round leader. And I was like, great, I got an outright. It's cool. And then he shot 80on Saturday when everybody was shooting like 63s. So,
okay.
I mean, we'll see. Sometimes it might be a confidence booster. Sometimes it isn't. But I think I'm going to try and maybe try and, you know, actually stick to my plan of, okay, maybe take some guys who actually tend to hit fades off the tee. Like, you know, Finau is in the mix. This isn't all that tough of a field. Morikawa, Sungjae, maybe a revenge spot for him. We'll see. Anyways, back to the column here. Approach shots. So it's about average difficulty. On the PGA Tour, it's not really a whole lot stands out either from shots under 150 yards or over 150 yards. The green regulation rate is about 63% since 2015, and that kind of varies widely with the weather conditions. If it's really windy, sometimes you can see green regulation rates that are under 60%. But sometimes, like I think the Justin Rose year, where I think he won at 20 under, it was soft, there was no wind at all. It was like 66%. So check the weather forecast. It's looking like it's going to be hot. I didn't see a whole lot of wind in the forecast right now, but that definitely could change. But more importantly, though, here's the proximity buckets for what you want to look for. So under 100 yards, only 8.7% of your shots. So I think that's about maybe two shots around, possibly. 100, 125 yards, 13%, 125 to 150, almost 20% of your shots are either from 150 to 175, 22.6%. 175, 200, 17.7%, 200, 225, 5.4, 225, 250, 5.3, and 250 plus, which is going to be your par fives, 7.6%. So overall, though, about 75% of your shots are going to be between 100 and 200 yards. That's similar to places like Sea Island, Wailea, and Sedgefield, which we mentioned up top. It's just really a big test of your short to mid irons at that point. So
is Hoagie in the field this week?
Hoagie is in the field, but here's the thing. I think he's missed a cut every single year at this event because he's from Fort Worth. And for whatever reason, he shows up and plays, but I maybe just being back at home and maybe around some of his illicit gambling rings he used to go to, maybe that just distracts him.
So, hey, man.
I thought that joke was going to land a little better with you.
That's fine.
It was fine.
To be fair, I got distracted. Say it again.
Yeah,
I got a text from the kid. Go ahead.
No,
say it again.
No, I'm not gonna repeat the joke.
But I want the joke.
You can listen.
Now
you can listen.
Now I gotta listen back.
You can listen back.
Okay, sorry. Got a text from the kid.
All right. Anyways, approach shots. I would focus mostly on just the proximity buckets. They're not all that difficult though if you hit the fairway. But if you do miss a fairway here though, it's definitely makes the approach shot tougher. So, and I guess it's going back to the off the tee stuff. So there's a 0.35 stroke difference between your score on the hole if you find the fairway and if you find the rough. That's one of the most severe penalties on the PGA Tour.
That's pretty significant.
It is. I think it's like top seven difficulty of like all golf courses. Like that includes majors and like one-offs and everything like that. Like you do not want to miss fairways here, like at all. So that's tough. But if you're hitting the fairways, though, the approach shots are, you know, not all that difficult. Same thing we said around the green. It's actually one of the more easier conditions around the green. Maybe that's why Jason Krokrak won, especially because of the fact that it is the easiest bunkers to get up and down from at Colonial. So it's the 10th easiest condition overall.
I miss Krokrak.
I know you do. He did. Yeah. He's a He's shitty on Liv this year too. He's just complete. He got his money. He's like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He was doing blow on that fucking serious show with Pat Perez. We
should have known. Allegedly.
Oh, please.
Allegedly.
He's not listening. And even if he was, he would not deny it. Him and Pat Perez were literally, remember I texted you? I was like, yo, what is happening? It was on like PJ Serious. And like they were literally doing lines and fucking going insane. Okay. Fucking nuts.
Allegedly.
Fine.
Anyways, one thing I forgot to mention, by the way. So, this is the last year this golf course is going to be as is. As soon as the tournament ends, Gil Hance is going to come in and basically try and condense a 18-month major renovation and overhaul of Colonial into 11 months. So all the greens are going to get ripped up. All the bunkers are going to get ripped off. All the Bermuda is going to get ripped up too. Like they're redoing the entire thing. It's essentially a Southern Hills type restoration this place. So enjoy your course history this year. Next year it might not mean anything, especially on the greens, which we're talking about a little bit. These greens are pretty easy to putt on. Players typically gain a lot more strokes per putt here at Colonial than any other course from under 5 feet, from 5 to 15, the 15 plus feet. I mean, kind of like with Oak Hill pre renovation, a lot of these greens have kind of shrunk over time. We lost pin positions. You know, most of these putts are, you know, there's some tiers to them, but overall, they're not all that tricky to putt on. So this is probably something that maybe Gil Hance might be able to fix. So just high level, off the tee, really difficult. At Colonial, pro shots are average difficulty. Around the green and putting, though, pretty easy. So last thing I'm going to close with is just what your favorite skill sets for this place. So I always post the relative skill set chart of every golf course in my articles. So off the tee, let's start with there. Low correlation of guys who are either long or short that can do well here, and also a lower correlation of guys who are accurate or not can do well, which, you know, is a little backwards from how I said you can't really miss a fairway here. Yeah. Why? I think it's because everybody's so hamstrung off the tee. They're all using kind of the same clubs. It's really just, okay, can you hit it here or not? And it's kind of predetermined. That's why there's a lot of parity as far as guys who are really good off the tee and guys aren't, as far as that skill set. And it shows up, too, with how you actually separate yourself on the leaderboard. Your performance off the tee has a lot less impact on the variation in total strokes in the tournament, basically your ability to separate yourself, than it does on the average PGA Tour stop by actually a significant margin. I think it's just because everybody just has one option pretty much off the tee. There's not really a whole lot of room for, I'm going to hit over the dog line, get over, you know, to a place where another guy can't, stuff like that. But as far as the relative skill sets, though, higher correlation of guys who are really good iron players at this place, higher correlation of guys who are really good around the green at this place, even though it's pretty easy conditions. I think that's just, you know, this is just a type of golf course where anytime you get to a shorter golf course where off the tee doesn't really matter, you get the profile of a player who is a little better with their irons, a little better on the green, and that kind of plays in their favor, and you see that here. Iron play in the tournament is really important to determining how you eventually do. Around the green, though, it can be a little up and down. I didn't really find a good correlation about why that is. Like last year, it was really super important to get up and down. That really determined how well you did around the game. Maybe it's because it was so windy last year. Other years, though, and actually overall Colonial, it's actually less impactful than the typical PGA Tour setups. And then putters.
Is this where Casey's was always good at?
Paul Casey?
Yeah. He was always good here, right?
Innisbrook, I think.
Okay.
He won that twice. I mean, Paul Casey's probably had a good course this year here, too.
Oh.
That would make sense. I mean, he's been good at some of the other comp courses. And then putting. You know, there's been kind of a mix of guys who are really good putters, really bad putters to do one hell. But overall, though, it has a little higher impact on how well you putt here versus how you do ultimately. So, you know, it's focused on your bent grass putters, focus on some guys who might have put well here in the past. But overall, though, you know, I'm not really going to use a whole lot of info off the tee this week. Definitely mostly rely on iron play, course history, and just generally just guys who are just playing good. I guess. So that's it.
Should be the way we go. So yeah. Be like the number's short. No, I don't like it.
No, just
golf stops.
Yeah. Just don't do that.
Good guys. Who cares about the number?
Yes. Bet the guys who think you're going to win. That's the objective. And don't be shameful of putting a bad number on your card.
So annoying.
Yeah, well, joke's on us.
Always.
Yeah. Nah, not always. We've had a bunch of winners this year.
We have actually.
A little bit of a slump right now. I think after having all the craziness of everything behind me, I think I'll be ready for a solid month before I go on hiatus again.
Ah, Christ, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking Christ.
Right. Yeah, you'll miss me again. Maybe, and then I don't know. Maybe I'll pop in randomly from time to time.
So, if I let you.
Yeah, if you let me. Yeah. All right, well, that's it. I got nothing else. You got anything else?
No, that's it. Steve, once again, appreciate you hosting for the weekend. It was a beautiful time. Had a great time. Got to meet the dog. Didn't get to meet the wife and the kids. But, yep. You know, next time, meet wife and kids. But I got to meet the dog.
Yes, you did. You got to meet Rudy, who, you know, listen, made me feel really comfortable that, you know, he came barking around the corner and saw two strange men in the house he'd never seen before. And basically just rolled over and just, you know, start wagging his tail and saying, hi. That made me feel really good about our guard dog.
It should.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's good. Yeah. It knows I was a good guy. That's all.
Just what? You know what? Why don't you go show him where the safe is, okay? Give him the key.
Seriously, though, Steve, you did a great time for me and Cam. Me and Cam, I had a good time out in Rochester, man. Hopefully, listen, we said next time on taxes, we have the PGA every year down here. TPC, let's go.
Yeah.
Players, let's go.
We'll figure out something for it.
All right. Other than that, Steve, seriously, thanks again. And listen, great week. Good championship. Brooks has more majors than Rory. Suck it.